Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this is another episode with just me this week because Kate is sick and it's still school holidays and there's still lots of children and she's still very pregnant. So hopefully she will be back next week where I'll still be on school holidays, but at least she won't be and hopefully she'll be feeling a lot better. So this week I thought I'd just do another quick episode. And before I do that, I thought I'd talk a little bit about on Sunday, I wrote something called I'm a size 10, but I'll always be plus sized in response to an article that was floating around about somebody who didn't want to stock plus sizes in their fitness wear. And it's one of those things where I guess, you know, blogging has changed since when I started. So you know, I'm kind of used to, you know, like I'll post things and, you know, some people will like it or occasionally I'll get an email. But for the most part, there's not a whole lot of feedback that happens anymore with blog posts because people are busy and, you know, if they might comment on the thing on Facebook, but because a lot of it I would post in if I post something in the community group, I'm likely to get a few people commenting on it or saying what they think. But that's a really sort of closed environment. You know, it's not a public environment. And for the most part, if I post something on my personal Facebook profile, I wouldn't really get many people commenting on it. And then when something hits a nerve like that did, all of a sudden loads of people were commenting on it. And it's, even though it's obvious that what I'm writing is public, it's something that I kind of ignore most of the time so that I can write the way that I do. I kind of sort of just go into a space where I pretend what I'm writing is not public so that I can write the way I want to write. And then something like that happens and last I checked about 1,000 people had read it and then I have to go and hide for a little while because I feel sort of exposed with that many people reading it, which is why I write like no one's reading it. So if that's the kind of thing that you're interested in, then you can check out what I wrote on the blog because I think pretty much covers everything I wanted to say, and except probably just to say that I think that the great thing about our community is that we are a really body positive community and we don't engage in anything that perpetrates any kind of fat shaming or even engages in this delusion that you can tell how healthy or how fit somebody is just by looking at them, because, you know, to be honest, it's total bullshit, you know, and I think that the worst thing about it is the how people will use somebody's size to make character assessments about how motivated they are or how much willpower they have or any other manner of things that are wholly unrelated to how someone looks. And I think that's easy to do when you are the world that somebody who is thin or slim or athletic or average sized, the world that they live in is extraordinarily different to the world that a fat person lives in. And I think that what we do really well is that we have a great understanding of that world and how things like going outside to go for a run have a million more challenges to somebody who lives in the world of a fat person than somebody who doesn't live in that world. And so I think that it's really easy to kind of look at something from your own context and think, oh, well, that's not that hard. All you've got to do is A, B, and C, but they're just completely different worlds. So I think that that's something that I will continue to talk about and write about because it is something that I'm just always going to have a really, really strong reaction to, because that one negative comment that somebody says could be the difference between somebody doing something and not doing something. And that is, I just think that's a great tragedy. But today, rather than preaching to the choir, which is I'm pretty sure what I'm doing there, thought I would just do a brief thing on the most common questions that I get asked about Learn to Run, because we're about to our last program for the year starts on the 24th of October. And what we're actually going to do, because I know that Christmas is a challenging time for everyone, is it's going to run from week 1 to 8, and then there's going to be a 2-week break over Christmas, and then we'll pick up again and do weeks 9 to 12. So I think that that's going to set everyone up for a great program, even though there is this big holiday season in the middle of it. So that's starting. It is going to be the last one for the year. We're not running programs in November. And this week up until Sunday, you can grab early bird rates. So that's usually works out to about 20% off. So probably the first question that I get is things like, I have no fitness, is it going to be suitable for me? And the answer to that is yes. It is basically, it's designed that if you are capable of going for a walk, then you are capable of doing the program. And I've created a program that I think works really well for most people. And over time, I've also developed an advanced program, which is for people who can already run 1 to 3 kilometres, but really want to consolidate that, and they want to build on that and build that fitness. So both of those programs are delivered in the same group, so you don't have to choose when you sign up, which also means that you might start with the beginner program for the first few weeks and then feel like you're ready to swap over to the advanced program. It's very flexible like that. And also, if for whatever reason the program isn't working, the benefit of having coaches instead of an app is that we can just write something that's individual to your circumstances if it's not quite working. So maybe 3 sessions a week is too much and you need a program that's going to be 2 sessions a week, then we can do that. Or it might be that you need a slower progression because you need some time to build up the, you know, like the muscle condition and all that sort of stuff, and we can do that as well. So it's very flexible in that way. So there's no reason not to start from a fitness point of view. And another, I guess, common question to that is, can I do it while I'm overweight? And absolutely you can, because that's, I started learning to run when I was heavily overweight. There are things that you can do that are going to help. Like, it can be rough, be just being, you know, higher impact being overweight. So things that you can do to mitigate that might be doing some of your runs on a treadmill, which is lower impact, or some of your runs on a trail rather than a road or a footpath. A footpath is usually actually higher impact than the road, so sometimes going on the road rather than running on the footpath can actually be a bit better. But there are lots of things that we can do to work with that and make sure that you've got enough recovery time in between. And probably the next most common question is actually that I get is about the treadmill. Can I do it on the treadmill? Yes, you can. Some sessions can be a little bit annoying to do on the treadmill if you have sort of like transitions in between pace, and we can sort of adjust the sessions to make that less annoying on the treadmill, but there's no reason why everything can't be done on the treadmill. Another really common question I get is, people write in say, I'm over 50 or I'm over 60, is this program going to be suitable for me? And the answer is absolutely yes. It is designed for everyone. It's not just for 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds. It is for everyone. And as I've said, it can be adapted depending on your needs. And I think particularly as women, as we get older, you know, with issues like osteoarthritis and stuff like that, having a resistance training component can be really beneficial, both in terms of bone health, but also in terms of maintaining mobility and that kind of stuff. And so we do have 2 optional strength sessions one for upper body, one for lower body, that you can choose to do every week or not do every week. It's something new that I've added in there because I think it is a great complement to support all of the muscles that you are going to be using when you're running. But sometimes too, when you start, you know, it can be just too much and you just want to focus on developing the running habit. And if you add too much into it, then it just becomes overwhelming and you do nothing. So that's something that you can talk about with your coach when you start to. Probably the other most common question that we get asked is around failure. And what if I fail? I've tried so many different things so many times. What if it's just another waste and I fail at this as well? And I think that the bigger thing that I try to do with Learn to Run is really challenge that idea of success versus failure as a binary thing. Because what tends to happen is if you sort of have that idea in your head, then you'll have a bad week. And maybe it's because maybe it's school holidays, maybe your kids have been sick, maybe you've been absolutely slammed at work, whatever it is, you just have a bad week. And then you think, well, now I'm behind and I should have prioritized it, but I didn't. And then it's hard to get into the next week. And then all of a sudden there's 2 weeks that you haven't done anything. And then you go into the land of, well, I'm shit and I failed and I will always fail at everything. And this is just another example of how I've failed. But the thing is I actually think it's a good thing when you have, obviously I don't want anyone to have a bad week, but life is not going to be a perfect 12-week stretch of uninterrupted training. That's just not realistic, and for the most part it's not going to happen. Things are going to get in your way, and I'm grateful when things get in people's way when they have a coach to help them with, because it's not about not having those times, it's what you do about that and how you respond to it. So the first part is not internalizing things that don't need to be internalized. So if you have a bad week, that doesn't make you uncommitted or unmotivated or crap or whatever it is that your internal dialogue is. It's just a bad week. And it's not a failure. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that happened. And so it's all about going, okay, what didn't go great last week? And what am I going to try and do next week? It's all just about tomorrow. It's not wasting time on thinking about stuff that has already happened. It's about being committed enough to go, yep, okay, next week or tomorrow or whatever it is. And taking the context of success out of that binary dynamic where it involves failure and a low opinion of yourself because a bunch of stuff happened, and taking it well out of that and just having it within the concept of progress. You know, 12 weeks is a really short period of time in what I hope would be a lifetime of running. And so in the scheme of that, if you are out with sickness for 2 weeks, it's not about beating yourself up over that. It's about going, okay, well, now I'm not sick, so now I'm going to go out for a run. Not, oh, well, now it's all completely gone to hell, so I might as well not do anything ever. So it's about changing that attitude and that mindset so that you go into your training just focusing on progress, not focusing on what specific session or week you're up to, because everyone's progress is going to be different. Everyone has different challenges and different obstacles, and it's just going to work out different for everyone. But my hope is that within that program you learn how to handle all of that stuff, so that when it happens after the program's finished, it's not a big deal and you say, okay, that was a bad week, and I'm going to go out for a run tomorrow, because you are not taking that bad week and making it about you, because you are living in an environment where there are always going to be a lot of pressures on you for time and attention, and sometimes it's just not going to come together on any given particular week. So I will link up to a whole range of community responses about the "what if I fail" question, and you know, my thought is always just there is no failure, there's just tomorrow. And that's really the goal of the program, is not that you complete every session up to week 12, but that you change. If you have a history of picking things up and then something happens and then abandoning them, then the program is really about changing that pattern, not getting to some kind of arbitrary goalpost. Because changing that pattern is what is going to set you up for a lifetime of enjoying your running, because it doesn't matter what gets thrown at you, you're always just going to show up. And that is the ultimate goal. You know, sessions are there to keep it interesting and varied and challenge you and all of that sort of stuff, but they are not the ultimate goal. And as always, if you have any more questions, then I'm happy to answer them either by email or in the Facebook community group. You can pop in there and ask there, or use the contact form on the website. That all comes to me as well. And I will speak to you next week, hopefully with Kate, but I guess that depends on how amenable my kids are to that, although they've been very distracted today by various devices and YouTube. So I think that we should probably be pretty good to go for next week, and I will speak to you then. Bye.